else to come in? Send me over something. Give me the stuffed pizza. I know, Rick. You know, it's only a second if you got to put up with me like that. And then I calm down. Hello, Russell. You need some glasses?
I got them. It's just I should be looking up like this instead of down like this. So well.
Oh, that's pretty nice. Got a new look, huh?
Yeah.
It's nice, man.
A little flair. I like it.
I like the oysters.
I do have some warrants here for us. That was when we had the E. coli. Jen stuck around for a couple hours. Her first couple weeks in.
Definitely a good night for fishing tonight.
Yeah? Tide's good?
It's looking good out there.
Dad went out last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, he just went out down.
He's always sneaking around down there.
Oh, yeah. He said he's been hating, working like crazy. Couldn't get anything to bite out of him. So he threw a hunk of something on a bobber, and the bobber went, a chub he had. Chub was broken in half. Said he did it twice. He said finally he stuck and pulled it about 3 feet and threw it out there and got himself a fluke from underneath. Don't ask me if the fluke was just traveling under the bottom and thought there were just pieces on the bottom or what. But that was dinner last night. He goes out every night, see if he can catch
dinner. Dinner, yeah.
But I won't reveal where it was.
Of course you don't.
This station 4, I ordered a double door there.
I don't know if you remember when we put the lime system in, we had to take the door frame out, couple row of brick, and then put the big tank in there. My anticipation is we're going to have to take that tank out of there, clean it out, and to remove the engine that's in there also. So I put a double door in down there. Well, between everything that went on, when the masons get down there to put the double door in, they said, geez, we don't feel comfortable taking the single door out. That's a cement roof you have up there. And if we do that, we're afraid the whole place might cave in. So I had to get an engineer to go down there, give me his opinion, pin it all up when they did the work, then build a support to put in there, a metal place, and have it welded and put in. So this is all because of me putting in a double door. Once everything was taken out, I had to. Yeah, they had to put a field that's pinned on the edges and everything beyond, and then pin everything up with it with braces while they were doing it, just so it would support the weight of the roof. Do all the equations that say with how much it has to be. Yeah. Yes. Yep. They came down and went through all the stations. They came down and took some stuff off of our SCADA system, sat here for a half a day, a guy did, taking back different information, putting it on a flash drive to go back with. He was just happy to hear that everything was clear afterwards. We don't have many left right now.
What are those things running? It's like 180 a piece, 170 a piece?
For both, yeah. It comes out to like just 93 for the meter now, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's like 90 now for the radio, yeah.
Oh, the radio, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's ended up being around $180.
Is that attached to the side of them, Chris? Are those attached to the side of them?
No. I can do it. We can put a saddle on them and attach them, but we choose to put them on the outside, run a wire and put them on the outside, because it has a battery with a life expectancy in it. And if something happens, it's a lot easier to walk up and change it outside than have to make another appointment, go downstairs and change the whole thing.
Square?
Yeah, so it's about a 4x4, 3.5x3.5, something like that. It's more like a rectangle, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we kind of talked last month about the coli hit in the raw water. But just to reiterate, it was last month that it happened. I just made you aware of it. So we did have it. We did get 5 clean samples right afterwards, and we haven't had another problem since. We had to do our byproduct testing also to start with the monthly. We plan on doing it again. State has asked us to do it in November also. So as of now, we're doing all right, it seems. We haven't heard from anything. We tested this week again, and everything was fine. I have not switched over to the lab like I indicated last month. Talking to a couple different people. Some people that are telling me that why would you change when you have a brand new lab over there that's squeaky clean and everything else that's just been built, and you're going to a place that everything's congested and smaller, and now they've opened everything up over there in Barnstable, and it's such a better environment than where they were, where they used to be. I just, at this point, I got to get prices from the guy over on EnviroTech and talk to him just a little bit more about the methods that I looked at. Seem to be the same method. There's not a difference. They're both a membrane method. I don't know enough about them to find out. It's one's a 24 and one's like a present or absent, I believe. So either way, the possible does them also. So I'm still up in the air there, and I just haven't made the phone call to or the decision to actually switch. I don't know if it's a sense of been doing it for years there, you know, loyalty or anything like that, but, you know, if it comes down to it, I really don't have any loyalty to them. You know, they are nice enough and everything else, and they did help us out when we did have our problem. Mm-hmm. I think I told you guys, Ryan, the girl who does the testing, actually came into our office at 6:30 at night with bottles on her way home and dropped them off because she had to go to Mashpee, and we had run out of some bottles to get the test for the next day, and we had a test on the weekend. And she went in there and read them all weekend long and everything. And I know she got paid to go in there on the weekends, but, you know, still she did stop by and introduce herself to Sherry and everything else when we were there. As of now, yep. Yes, we are. August, I'll give you my report if you look. Okay. August of 2013, we pumped 32,262,000. August of 2014, 35,465,000, for an increase of 3,203,000. We've been averaging, anyways, about a little over a million more. We've had no rain. No rain at all. I mean, anybody who's got a garden out there knows you're out there constantly. It's just been ridiculous. It's been a hard, hard summer. We're just now starting. I can go in the morning still right now, and all our pumps are running. All 5 of them are running just to keep up with the demands in the morning. As the day goes through, they'll be running down to one or two stations and going okay. And we're not using as much lime, but I went through 12 pallets of lime in almost a month. It seemed like every day we were filling stations. We were just pumping water like crazy. We had 1.5 million we pumped in one day, and that was a Friday in August. Usually your high days are Saturdays or Sundays, you know, so, I mean, it just was drastic.
Do you feel that the voluntary conservation measures have helped prevent us from going to 2 million gallon a day? I mean,
I thought so last year. I don't think it mattered this year to people. I think if they wanted to water, they watered no matter what.
Yeah. Have you noticed any type of drawdown on any of the wells or the water tables?
Our water tables are getting low. I mean, right now, we actually took and turned station one down at one point because I was getting nervous that we were pumping too much out of it. So we knocked it down 100 gallons a minute. And only put it out at 400 right now instead of 500, just because we were down to maybe 6 feet above the screen, 4 feet at times, maybe 3 feet even. I mean, it was just getting low. And it's a shallow well anyway, so we don't always have a lot of water there. And every year we're watching that. Right. It's always getting lower and lower, but it was very early that it got there this year, and I got a little nervous. And we also had one of the intelligent transmitters break on us down there. It was giving us false readings, so that's one of the things you saw in AD instruments and the warrants was him fixing that down there, having to replace one. But that station 4 is getting lower and lower, so I'm pretty sure 4 and 1 are the ones that we're going to clean out this year, try to redo them and see if we can get them nice and clean so they recharge quicker and everything.
Well, don't forget, I mean, you've got the ordinance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it got that bad, I would definitely make a phone call right out to you guys and let you know that I'm getting real nervous. Yeah. 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 We're actually doing well right now. Jen approached me at the beginning of the month and asked if I wanted to lift it, and I said there was no way right now that I wanted to lift it. I want to keep it going. Right now through September right now, just to see what's going on. And like I said, it's still early morning demands, which means there's still many sprinkler systems out there that are going and stuff like that. So until we get down at the end of the month, if I feel comfortable, we'll yank it. And when the colder weather gets here, I'm pretty sure I will. But not until I told her. We did have 3 services go in, 2 in Bayside, and 1 down on Tracy Road in the Cove.
Was that a new house
down there? No, it was an existing that somebody had bought that had a well. I believe it was the last one on Tracy Road that didn't have water. Years back, we put it on Tracy
Road.
Yeah, well, that used to be Mrs. Crawford or Crocker or Crawford that lived down there. And she was I think Will Everett built the house, and she'd been there for years and said, nope, when I built the place, it wasn't too old. I just put a brand new well in. I'm not going to worry about it. So somebody just bought it from down the street, and they said, I don't want the well. I want the water coming in. So they did. Main Street. The signed documents went to Tibbetts Engineering yesterday, I believe. Tibbetts is the one that the town has hired to do the actual package to put out to bid, and that is getting submitted tomorrow to the town of Barnstable. At that point, it is in their hands. They have not given a date. They said they wanted to get it to me. Personally, they said they wanted to get out as quick as possible when it got to them. So there's a good chance it might be out in the next month. But I will have a better answer for you next month, for sure. And
again, you anticipate that the town will be starting somewhere this fall?
They told me they'd like to try to get drainage in this fall. Now, this fall is getting shorter and shorter as we're going, So if not, early spring, but when they start the drainage on this side, we'll be going right in there and going on the other side. Because we got to get in and go right away and get it done so that we're not in anybody's way and everything like that. The last thing I have on here is we had talked about the radios. And I had Matt here again for some work, and he told me that with the current SCADA system that we have, he would not want to be on the same as a security system. He said, you should keep your SCADA system separate from any, like the internet or anything like that. He said, if you go fiber optic with anything with cameras coming out, unless it's a real closed system, he would feel much safer to keep it on radio as it is, because it's just talking and radio talk back and forth to it and telling it what to do. And he said that these would work, you know, so much better than what they have. You can use some of them as a bouncing around. He said that he didn't think it should be part of the actual security part. Was his suggestion to me. Now,
and did he say what his concern was?
Just for vulnerability, he said. He said people being able to get in any way. He says if you go to anything like a security system, he's thinking like if it's a cape net or something like that, somebody can get in and hack into it. If you're into any kind of computer, if you're radio, they're not going to be able to get into it.
We're talking about a closed system anyways, aren't we?
We don't
have that.
Yeah, we've talked about
it. That's not part of it at all. Our system is closed. Am I wrong, Russ?
No, I believe that they have the fiber optics. They have the dark circuits, what they call it.
Yeah.
It's a security embedded fiber. That's specifically for the use of
SCADA.
Municipalities and things of that nature that have
that's what he's talking about. Who's that?
Matt, AD Instruments, the guy who put it in.
Yeah. What's his, you got a stake in the game here?
Yes and no. I think he would still be handling no matter what. If he's our delusion guy, he's the guy who puts all the stuff into the computer that runs everything, so he'd still have to program everything.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, all he wants to, he's just trying to upgrade to give a little more of a, instead of just things being cut and dry, because the radios that we have are basically out of date. They're 11 or 12 years old, 13, whatever they are, 20 years old almost, and everything. He's trying to upgrade everything into a different style. And talking about making better reception by some of these, by changing the antenna that hasn't been working at, Santuic, because that was one of the things he says it's either got hit by lightning or something over there, but it's gone. To putting a fiberglass one up there that's not metal, and it having the capability as of being a repeater also to pick up anything that's a little further away and repeat it right to the office. So
what's the situation?
Right. It's shared now, I guess you'll say. It's not, we should be running on a different frequency as of last November.
Right.
Yep.
So is AD Instruments proposing that we change all the radios to a new style of operating the frequency?
Yes. That's will bring us up to where we're supposed to be, is what he's saying also. And it will handle a couple things at once.
But this is also the same controls and communications that we've been talking about using the fiber network.
Yes, to communicate back and forth. We talked about bringing the security in to come into. We talked about also putting that on at the same time, yes. We did consider it, but we're talking because the cameras would be on a different. I don't know if you want it. It'd be something that we'd either be plugging into or going into on a computer, I would believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So is AD putting together the proposal to replace?
Yeah, that's. Yeah, they gave me that. That was the $18,000, was the one to replace the 9 radios that we have and install them and everything else.
I
have we got the ability to make a change? The changes have taken place around us. They're on 280 now, right?
Megahertz.
Southern Hospital is on 280.
280 megahertz?
Yeah, they made a change up to 700. And Glenn says it's better.
Is it much better? That's communication says?
Yeah. I don't know if you knew.
I mean, we're off the original right now.
So it's 700.
Oh, is that what it is?
It is a 700,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, which we're not supposed to be, right. So these are a much better radio that has the technology of having an Ethernet cable adapter to it and everything else with them. It said that some of them you can't use the Ethernet to them if you have to. Some of them you can, depending on the age of them. These older ones, all these ours, are still a cable that goes in. Where he could hook these up, you know, now with better electronics going in and connecting everything together.
Are you feeling like you're getting a lot of skips or bumps, a lot of bumps in it right now?
I'm getting phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning that I can't even clear right now because I can't get communications from Station 3. And it seems to be something with NSTAR or somebody's running something that's interfering with the 700 series. So, I mean, we've been trying to fix that right now. Santuit, I don't know. They finally figured out that the antenna's been hit by lightning or something because he's not getting anything out of that antenna. So, I mean, things are starting to break down is what I'm saying. I forget you weren't here last month, and that's when I brought it to everybody's attention, and we're starting to limp a little bit.
Yeah, I got you.
So we're going to have to think about doing something, even if it's a temporary fix till everything gets done. But, you know, we've been saying, hopefully we'll with the security, and then it's been going on for almost 2 years now, if not more,
yeah.
With Open Cape, yeah.
I've got the dumb thought process, because I don't really understand how it works, but I don't know how CNO did it, but they made a change, a wholesale change on their frequency. Is that totally out for us? We can't make a change?
I don't think our radios are capable of.
Oh, I guess.
Is what I'm saying. Because they're almost 20 years old, or we put this in 20 years ago. So they're old Motorola's that we're even having trouble. We couldn't even find parts for them. You can't buy one anymore.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, my concern is that to spend $18,000 in 6 months, you've got the system that we can switch over to fiber.
Right. Yeah, I think we can table it to next month and discuss it a little more and everything.
Does anyone share a concern?
I don't know if this makes any sense, but we lease radios for a period of time, and so you have something to use, and then maybe you can.
I didn't try to explore that, so I mean, I could ask, yeah. I don't know if he didn't even offer that in any way, but you know, I will check, yeah.
Okay. I just feel like, you know, we've sort of, in a long process, we've made a complete circle back to the night we sat there and looked at the presentation for, you know, doing our whole system with radios over.
Backwards. Right. Understandable.
And the other thing I would suggest to you, just based on what you just said, is your car is using all new radios. It's got to be reasonable to select that.
I don't think they're on new radios. I think they change their frequency.
You think they've just changed frequencies?
I think about it. I didn't know anything about this right here that we're talking about right now.
Right.
My head would have gone another direction when I talked to Glenn about the radio and the when I talked to him about his SCADA. I would have. And that was just, I don't know how the conversation came up. It really wasn't based around anything of our business. It was just kind of normal conversation with Glenn about some jobs that were out there. And all of a sudden we get into, I asked him if they were having trouble with theirs at 700, and he goes, well, we changed. And we changed, we're running like 280 now. And I didn't go any further with that because my head was strictly in the fact that we would move over to, we got to move over to the closed system and the fiber. So I didn't jump on that. How it happened? I certainly can.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope. That's what I have. That's all I have. Basically, yeah. I might bring Russ in on this a little. He got the same email, I believe, I did this morning. I emailed Dan yesterday and said, got a meeting again tomorrow. I'll bring this one over if you want to keep that, Ted. And basically, he said to us last time that there was a difference in pricing or ownership or people dealing with, and that he didn't have, he didn't like the pricing that he got, and that he was going to check into it to see if there was another option that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Today, basically, his email said it was going to, what he had from Cape Net, which is the people I think he said he didn't like the pricing from, was $185,000 to $195,000
to install it. Include everything?
He didn't say that. That's just the installation of the fiber, I believe.
Well, the cameras and stuff are short money. I mean, the cameras and the equipment that would go into this thing they're not big bucks. I mean, correct. I mean, top of the line cameras out there are $1,000.
I think so. Something like that, right?
Yeah. So, he said something. He was still had to. He didn't have anything to compare it to, is what he said, at that point. I had the email with me. Tell you the truth.
Yeah, I spoke with him about an hour or so ago. I actually called him again, and it's exactly what he mentioned. He was working with Cape Net. He had a little bit of frustration because Cape Net, I guess, wanted to come straight to Kituit for the deal. And if that's the case, then Kituit owns all the infrastructure that's put in the ground versus Open Cape. If they give the proposal to Open Cape, then that gets Dan the infrastructure. He's the owner. Open Cape's the owner of the infrastructure. Gives him more control, so it's more advantageous for Open Cape. He expressed that the cost he felt was too high. He was going to go out to some other subcontractors that do the similar electrical work to set the poles and run the wire and things like that. So we did him some time to fine-tune the cost that he was putting together. But we also had a discussion with regards to the Cape Cod Commission. Last I spoke with the woman, it was Christy Senatori. The Cape Cod Commission had appropriated funds to connect 34 municipal buildings to the Regional Area Network, the RAN. And that's when I asked if the Kituit Fire District, if the water department offices or the well stations could be included in that. And she didn't see any reason why they couldn't be. And then Dan is going to be following up what he told me over the next week or two with Christy to see if the Cape Cod Commission can provide any assistance with that connection fee, perhaps offsetting some of those fees. He didn't make any guarantees, which is understood. So he does want to get that cost fine-tuned. It would not include any of the hookup, the installation cost coordination with manufacturers, things like that for the camera system. I believe that's simply just the hard infrastructure cost on the ground, or above the ground in this case.
So it would be the service to the building.
I don't believe it includes the cameras or the connection fees. Once you start getting into the discussion with SCADA, I guess the question, like Rick mentioned, why are they opposed to fiber optic? If I'm understanding correctly, the SCADAs use water, wastewater treatment to communicate with, if you have 40, 50, 60 pump stations, you know, obviously it works radio. It's a lot cheaper of installation. But it's just a signal going back and forth, so I can't use the fiber optic. My understanding, when you run the 24 band or the 24 fiber line there, is you have different signals you can use,
right,
that, you know, for security or for whether cable TV, you know, if it's internet connections. So why can't that same signal be provided via fiber? So as far as tapping into it, I believe that software that they use to remote control SCADA, like from a tablet or from an iPhone, something like that, is more comparable to one of those applications where you can log onto a desktop from a remote location, only it has a higher security setting, so the average person can't tap into it. So that would be a question. One, is it possible to do it with fiber, yes or no? And I believe the answer is yes. And then what are the reasons why he can or he feels against
it? Right.
I guess the other question would be to reach out to other water superintendents or wastewater superintendents to see if any of them have started using SCADA via fiber optics.
Right.
Just because it's something new, I wouldn't necessarily be scared of pushing it further. I don't believe a lot of the treatment plant operators that I deal with are on fiber optics just because it's such a limited resource in the area. But again, if it can provide you with higher performance, it's definitely something I wouldn't want to let go at this point. Dan did mention, too, that he wanted to relook at the microwave agreement. It's been antiquated at this time, so he wants to revise any old language that's in there. But he specifically said to me getting that signed would motivate him to move a little faster. And we can interpret that how we want to, but it sounds like that's something that he's looking for, too. He's going to be reviewing that language over the next week or two to make sure it's still current, and sending that along.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's something, you know, we've already we voted quite some time ago that we were going to read that. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, you know, specific changes in the language. I mean, we've agreed to the principle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we all need to see the final document to review to make sure that we agree to essentially the same terms laid out.
Mm-hmm. Well, would it be too much to ask them with that? You know, if the thought process is there to agree to it, should we invite Dan to the next meeting and say, given that the language in the contract is, or the agreement is mostly the same, with the exception of maybe some dates or things like that change, that the commissioners are willing to sign it and move forward at the next meeting to get them out here on the spot and move forward and sign it then?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
okay. I'd like to get something moving.
Yep. And then maybe he can expand more. Hopefully by then he can have the cost figured out a little bit better. You can have some feedback from the Cape Cod Commission, and we'll let them know that it'll be signed that evening, provided there's no substantial changes.
Right. You had given. We had sent in a marked-up one that you gave them.
Yeah. We do need to see it before an hour, somewhat in advance.
Yeah, that's kind of been their MO. That everything has been Johnny-come-lately, you know. It's always been at the last minute with these guys. Rather, as opposed to us, I mean, Chris has been calling them, you know, the day of the meeting, and where is it? And it comes in at 4:47, you know. So we're sitting here trying to read this document at 5:15.
Listen, I mean, you got to have time to review something before you sign it or vote on it or anything like that, especially something that big. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. It's essentially we've agreed in principle. We just need to see the document before we need time to review it. And if it's discussion of conditions, we should know that beforehand so that we can, in fact, have a final document that we hypothetically could execute better.
Right.
Well, yeah, from what Dan tells me, he's going to have that within a week or two. So,
okay.
Perfect.
It should be enough. Yeah. Okay.
I am concerned a little bit about the estimated price that he gave us.
From CapeNet.
Much wiggle room with the budget we have.
Not at all. 185 to 195, that's almost the entire budget. You got to think of just, you know, if anything goes over at all, if they bump into anything.
Well, we have to figure out what's in that 185.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a written proposal.
Yeah.
Exactly what that scope carries.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing better out there would be than a closed system. But a closed system we'd own, we'd maintain, we'd have to have somebody come in and fix, I believe. I don't know what you can hook that to, what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern with the municipal RAN Isn't that originally that if you wanted to, you could call, you know, the town of Boswell and have a contact to Kachewitt right away through the municipal RAN? Isn't that a way to hook all the different buildings together?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's my understanding. Yep. It's just the municipal, the RAN would be just a connection. In other words, what they would do is they would achieve a connection to all of these buildings and all of these municipalities so that at some point, a later date, then they would create the software that would be installed in each municipality where you could then interface. You know, when you would be
shared,
it would be all connected. This is really just the connectivity part of it. It's not the actual hardware and software that would facilitate.
Okay.
And so what I'm thinking is, even on our situation, let's say, again, if this did go on the high end of what we're doing, and we just, with the budget that we have, we just achieved a fiber connection in every facility that was going to require one, you know, then at that point we could maybe move forward in the next budget, you know, fund some of it. Almost do it like we did with hydrants, if you will. You know, get one level of security, get the first year, get the panels, and then into the systems, you know, the second go round.
Yeah.
Add more sophisticated sensing, or maybe vice versa, I don't know. But, you know, build on it piece at a time. But if we've got the, you know what I mean, we've got the solid foundations, you know, it's like the foundation of
right.
The house. And,
right. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the total area of infrastructure that has to be run linear footage, I think with all the stations, with what they have in place, it's something about 10,000 linear feet of conduit or wiring that has to be run. So if you look at underground applications, I had a hard time finding quotes, anything under $20 from private contractors doing it. So just the conduit alone right there is $200,000 for underground, not including wire, not including connection fees. So like you said, maybe do it piecemeal. You get all the hardware in place. First go around, if you have to go back for a little bit more, if you do need a $10,000, $15,000 more to secure the cameras or whatnot, look at that in the future.
Well, some of this could be, too, that they're just looking at, you know, on a total, you know, sort of blank slate approach and suggesting that maybe there are no holes going down to the station before.
Right.
Whereas we do have power poles the whole way. I don't know if you see, you know, from the gate at Newtown Road to those three stations, I don't see that there would be any need to install additional poles. I think you could just, you know, get on them.
Right.
I don't know who owns those poles. I mean, obviously, on our property, I don't know if NSTAR.
It's an NSTAR right away. Yeah, NSTAR owns the poles. Because they maintain the right of way.
Okay.
Yeah.
With my telephone company owns the poles, NSTAR, when we go to Access and have to replace them, the phone company has to bring the poles in for them to put back up.
Yeah. So there's different ones that they own. Now it's at the point, but I believe the high lines that go through there, we just had, we got something from NSTAR that came in and replaced one inside, a whole racket of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the poles are still lying in there right now, but I don't know if they ever plan on getting rid of them or what.
So does our power come off of the high voltage?
Yes. Yes. We actually paid to have Station 2 and Station 1 brought off of there. Because at one time, it didn't feed the both of them, and we had a hurricane, and it took a while to get some power back.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, you know what? Those are the first things that go back on. If we power those up, our stations are going to have power. So you guys actually voted, I believe you were here then, to have it done, paid like a good amount of money to have it done through NSTAR. It took them a year to do it.
Right.
But the work order was in there for a year before
right.
they finally came
to
get it.
I can see that maybe you do need to put in some poles because you're not going to be able to run fiber down.
According to, what was the guy's name that came around? They're installed. Gary's?
Farenkopf,
yeah. He said that he would rather work and run it down there and has done it before than to go through on regular poles down 28 and deal with the state or to go through any kind of woods or go and he goes, that's nothing.
Oh, okay.
He didn't think there was a problem at all with going down through there. He was happy to, as a matter of fact, when he saw it. He said, that's an easier route for me. They're existing and they're there.
Well, I've always felt these guys should understand how to do it. It's their business.
Yeah, right.
So it's a little troubling that they're so scattered.
Just to make sure that the proposal gets broken out enough so you can see what they considered, you know, reusing existing poles versus setting new poles, you know, what capacity you're carrying.
Right.
So
okay.
It'll take a little bit of review.
All right, I can talk to you about that later on, too. A little more with that and everything. Talking to Gary. Gary. Thank you.
But ideally, if we can get the price adjusted to what we really need, and if we get some assistance, we might be able to stay within our budget. Because this is that we have this budget since 2012, and as time has gone by, expenses go up.
Sure.
So.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff coming up with all the different things we're doing in the district in the next couple of years. I'd like to try to stay within the budget.
Yeah, and I think that it's good to push Dan to have him explore the most cost-effective way to do it. It sounds like if this is his first shot, you know, we can get to go down a little bit. I think we can keep it within that 200. So that'd be a good thing.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to having the debate. Radio. I
want
to hear the two experts.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Any other thoughts on open gate for security? All right. Then let's move on to West Street Tech. Russ, do you have an update?
I do. And I actually printed out a whole agenda and had a bunch of material and left it sitting right on my desk. Before I ran out over here. So good news is most of it I can email out so you can take a look at it. But I can. Yep. So what we have done today so far is basically the existing conditions assessment. It's the first step of the design process. It's setting up the template for what you do the design from. So we've conducted the field survey. We've developed the existing conditions plan of the West Street tank. We just received last week the AutoCAD files from Weston and Sampson, so we've received all the information from them.
Good.
We put together the demolition plans, so we have a good jump on that. We've completed our environmental review, which included 30 shallow borings, basically six fingers of borings spaced about 4 feet apart. And it's basically sampling the surface for lead paint and any other environmental concerns. We use what they call the same deal that Weston and Sampson did, the XRF monitor.
Yep.
Which gives you indications of the presence of lead. If you do get a hit with that meter, then you'd pull that soil sample and send it off to the lab for a more accurate sample. So we did get some hits with the XRF. That was, I wouldn't say of concern, but just somewhat led us to want to take a closer look. So we sent those soil samples off to the lab, and there were some levels of lead in PCBs, but not to the extent that you have to do any remediative action. So you don't have to go in there and clean out an expansive amount of soil. In fact, all the areas where we did get any traces of lead or PCBs are going to be removed when they do the tank demolition regardless. The footings at the tank, what you see on the top is about a 4 foot by 4 foot square, and then it pyramids down to about a 10 foot diameter footing. So those are all coming out, and there's going to be quite a bit of material taken out of there. And all the samples we did that had any traces of lead were within that. So they're coming out regardless, which is a good thing. No surprises.
Right.
So that soil that will be excavated will have to go to a facility.
It doesn't trip any of the thresholds for hazardous waste.
Okay.
So the contractor can reuse it as fill if needed, or he can dispose of it wherever they dispose of fill. It's basically the contractor's responsibility at that point.
All right. Okay, so nothing, no lead above any of the
regulatory levels. The geotechnical review, we went out there, we did two 50-foot soil borings and also a 100-foot soil boring to see the material that the tank's going to be placed on. With that, we do the sieve analysis, we do the proctor test, we do compaction analysis work as part of the geotechnical report, and we hired the company GZA to do that. They're basically geotechnical engineers. That's what they do for any type of structure. They've come back with their report. There's no real surprises. It stands like we expect. They expect minimum compaction. We've sent that up to the tank manufacturers. I did request that they look at they gave a range of compaction based on the final weight of the tank, so I asked them to contact the tank manufacturers get the exact weight of a 300,000-gallon tank so they can better define what that compaction is, and that comes into the tolerances of the pipe leading up to the tank, what the deflection for the joints are, whether or not you need bends or flexible couplings. That's the reason for the questions on those. So it's just a little bit of a design considerations that I asked them to fine-tune. But they got it's 99% of the report is complete. And we'll be including that in specifications when we send it off to the when we put it out to bid. And the final number, it tells you, you know, what you get for a bearing capacity, pounds per square foot. If it's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pounds per square foot, it gives the tank manufacturers the information they need so they can size their foundation appropriately. So we do have all the geotechnical information wrapped up. And again, I have copies of these reports. What I'm planning on doing is submitting as a submittal, a binder, which has the existing conditions plan, the environmental assessment, and geotechnical assessment. It's basically for the records. There's, like I said, no surprises with any of it, but
be good to have.
Be good to have. You want to have that information on file. So what we expect with the over the next month or two is to start the modeling with Amory engineers, start looking at the water main configurations. I do have some questions as far as abandoning the water mains and the gate valves, how specifically you'd prefer to do that. I have a couple ideas, and we can talk about that at a follow-up meeting. And then putting together preliminary plans, specs, and cost estimates.
Okay, so just so it's clear, so we're complete through 3.4?
Correct. I just have to deliver the final memorandums and the submittals, but the office work has been done, and now it's just administrative pulling it together.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have started on some of the preliminary design plans on the next task, you know, the cover sheet, the notes, the legend. We have the parcel plan done, the demolition plan done, really everything we can get done.
Right.
A good portion of the details are in there.
So you're already starting in section D?
We have, yes.
Okay. Yep. And so back to 3.5 water modeling and distribution review. Do you have, so you have all the base information that you need?
We do. We have the majority of it. Amory engineers will be requesting some usage figures, but they did collect most of it at the kickoff meeting. They have the model. They've confirmed that it runs to their needs. We've got that up to them.
Okay. Is that the only container?
Taylor and Howard did it. We gave it to GHD. GHD gave it to Weston and Sampson. Now Green Seal has it.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought the original work that Taylor and Howard did was good quality. So
yes.
Yeah,
it gets updated and everything. Each time it gets updated to a newer version.
Having a good model for any water or wastewater distribution system is a necessity.
Yes.
Right.
You know what? Just this is sort of a totally different subject, but based on the data that's in the model, previously we had got a full size CAD drawing of the water system that we use, and it's in some conference room back in the office. But again, there's, you know, as we advance and update the system, I'm wondering if maybe when we get done with the main street, can we get can you guys do an update on that drawing?
We can, those updates. I mean, if you're just updating text and putting lines in, such a minimal task. We can. I don't want to say it makes more sense to have GHD do it. I mean, I know Jim, the designer.
Yeah.
But basically, if you have three or four markups, call him and say, I need you to do it. Just
he'll do
send me a bill for an hour or two of what the work.
I think we could stay with as long as he's there and they're still there.
Yeah, and he drafted it originally.
Yeah.
It sort of makes sense as just for reference, just to sort of have an aspect, if you will.
Sure.
Right. I mean, I could take from the date, that last date we have on there, and go back, and any improvements that were done, have them installed on there.
Yeah, I mean,
and say go from there.
Size or connections.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think, don't you have a number of little comments on that?
There's a few little things. Yeah, there's a couple where we found a gate that wasn't on there, or where he says there's two and there's three, or there's three he says and there's only two.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple small things like that that have to be adjusted on it also,
If for some reason you don't get a response, let me know, and we, I think, I have the CAD file.
You've
somewhere.
Had to bully him before. That's I understand.
Okay. Well, that's sorry, that was just a
Sure. Yeah.
Did you have anything else?
No, that's really the summary. I'll be forwarding on a hard copy of the submittals. I can give you PDFs of the existing conditions plan, the environmental assessment, and the geotechnical assessment. And it's fairly geotechnical, interesting to read. It's one of those things you may want to, when you have some time, just look at what goes into it. The environmental assessment's a little bit of dry reading, but that's only my opinion.
That's all right. Do you have a sense of the timing when the next task, like 3.5, will be completed?
And that's the water modeling?
That's the modeling.
I would hope by within a month from now. I've been talking with Amory quite a bit. They just started up a treatment plan, so they've been tied up with that. We've had a few other assignments. Talking with Chris at the kickoff meeting, he mentioned we're looking at a fall 2015 construction season, which means we'll want to get this out to bid over the summertime. So it hasn't been of the utmost priority, given some of the other fires that are going on, the other projects that we have to get wrapped up. But I would say over the next month, we should get a good feel for the modeling, maybe the month after that. We could have a pretty good set of preliminary design plans put together, which will give you an idea of where the new tank's going, how the water main configuration is going to be.
Sure.
So I'd say...
I think so that we're all on the same plan, is that we would really, need to see enough data to understand the cost.
Mm-hmm. By the time we have the preliminary design done, you should have that to better fine-tune the cost estimate, which would probably be before that.
Okay.
I would hope by the Thanksgiving holiday we'll have
okay.
a good handle of where we stand.
Then that's perfect. I mean, if we want to all maybe in our minds we'll shoot for January,
mm-hmm.
that would be ideal. We'd love to have those numbers put together well in advance of our budget.
Ahead of time for a change. Yeah.
I don't see anything now that's going to change the preliminary estimate. I think it was 1.7 to 2.3. I know that gives you a range. You're probably looking for a singular number that you can put in.
Yeah.
There's been nothing I've seen so far. I still feel confident we'll be within that range.
Okay.
But understood, January, if not sooner, we can get you a better idea on the cost. I did want to say that we may want to reach out if you want to forward me any contact information you have for the cell phone people. We'll want to make sure that they do what they need to do to get their equipment out of here. I don't know if it's too early to start having that discussion on the potential for maybe even building a tower, because if that is the case, we'll want to have that going out to bid first, and maybe that Main Street tank will have to stand up for a little bit longer. Maybe we find that we want to separate that as a separate bid project. It doesn't necessarily have to be included with this project. We're doing it just to give it a little larger price tag to it to make it a little more attractive to bidders. But we don't have to bid it out as part of this demolition. We have that luxury of letting it stand. We can still even abandon it, close the main, sever the main, and leave it standing as a in lieu tower until a new one's built, if you want to go that way.
Full.
That's
full.
Right.
Full, yeah.
I don't know. But we'll discuss that.
Right. Would that build? Do you have a copy of that build-out study that we had? Would that help Amory in the design or anything like that?
I think if we have parcels, if we have additional use that may be anticipated, I think the big number they need is that in that Tate and Howard report. I think Tate and Howard had. Did they have an ultimate build-out number? I thought they gave it
yes, they did. You had that you had a copy of that, I believe.
We did.
We did give you that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering with the build-up, because apparently, that's something we're going to have to discuss tonight, too, but 19 of the acres just got that were there for the build-up before. There was a possibility for the 40B is now off the table, or will be off the table, I should say, hopefully within the next 6 months to a year. Which is Lowell Park, yeah, that they just did. So, that would even, I don't know how much that would affect or not, but, it's
well,
a little
something. Yeah, if we know it's not a reality, that might,
right.
Who knows?
There's a good chance that it's going to be bought for conservation reasons or for town reasons, as long as they can come up with the money, as long as they rewrite the wording on the
stuff and everything else, but mm-hmm. there's a good chance that might be gone. That's 19 and a half acres out of there that was potential zoning for it.
Sure. And how many units?
Well, at that point, it's what you can do on a quarter acre.
Yeah.
If every sixth one can be depending, it would have to depend for a 40B. But, I mean, there was nothing. We didn't figure it as a 40B
right.
because there was nothing in the paperwork. It was just figured as a two-acre lot.
Right.
So that's almost, you know, 10 houses there.
That was the way they approached it when they did the build-out study. They couldn't make any assumptions beyond what would be allowed by zoning.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no way to, you know, because it's just pure speculation to say that maybe someone would get a dense development approved, which, of course, was the case in the west end of the property, in the west end of town. But so far, none of the other parcels, except for maybe 671 Main Street,
right.
you know, have an overly dense build-out point. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to look at.
Sure.
So if you don't have it, I have copies of it.
Right.
Copies, just make it.
Sure. Yeah, I'll look and confirm whether or not.
Okay, if you have it or not, yeah. I was looking for it, actually, the other day, and I couldn't find it, without Sherry there. I don't know. Sorry, Jen.
I like the idea of the tower. Of course, telephone tower or radio tower there, but would they be willing to go and survey whether the location for their equipment would be better on the Newtown tank as opposed to the tower being built where the Main Street tank is? Is that something that, you know, we should take a look at before we, I mean...
Right. Well, according
I don't know
to
how that works for us. So.
According to the people I've talked to, that's not an option to them to go to Newtown.
Okay.
They said that because if you go to Newtown, instead of just you going over there and getting better reception, you got to move every other one, adjust every other one to come to that bounce-off point.
Okay, so you think that their thought process is they're going to be better with the tower right there at the Main Street tank where they already know
correct.
The angles or whatever.
Something within a certain distance around it, yeah.
I got you.
So it would just
be
a tank.
The other thing we can do is just we can put out an RFP.
That's... Right.
Yeah, the town of Plymouth just put out an RFP. Actually saved it for a cell phone tower. From my understanding, they carry up to five providers. So,
yeah.
A company like Industrial Communications would want to, they may be interested in something like that. They'd contact the five providers, get quotes from them, how much they would lease it to them, and then they'd offer you back a payment for that. It's likely going to be less of a revenue than you're seeing now because you own the land.
Yeah.
So it's something to consider. For budgetary purposes, but I intentionally saved that RFP from Plymouth just so we...
Is that the one Haley and Wood put out? Did they do that?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I didn't see a name on it.
Okay.
But I knew also that Industrial Communications, they put the one up for Comm. And then I think Dan Worthern's over at Open Cape mentioned he had some cell phone connections with
right.
people.
Yep.
Some numbers, which I can probably bug him again to get those and start talking to him. But the RFP route may not be a bad idea. I'm sure you can get one of those guys to help you write it, because they'd be very interested in it.
All right. What I'll do is I'll see if I can find them contacts in the next week or so
okay.
and try to get them to you also.
Okay.
Well, he's still here, too, and you had asked about the structural report
yes.
to see if we were rushing through and everything else. There was an email that you sent to me, was that one of the things you left at the office?
It was. I remember it fairly
yeah.
well, though. It was basically fitting after reviewing the memorandum that was put together for the structural condition. It said in there numerous places that there's no imminent concern of structural failure, meaning it's not going to topple over anytime soon. There was mention of the overflow pipe being of some concern. I don't know if it was the supports or the bracing that
yeah.
connected it that may be compromised.
Yeah, that was still a concern.
They suggested minimal, repairs to that. I think it was over the next 0 to 2 years or 0 to 5 years, basically, as soon as possible to refasten that to the tank. But as far as the structural condition of the tank, I believe the report actually said it was in good shape. I specifically quoted that out of the their report after reading it in detail. So I didn't see any red lights in there that would cause imminent, you know, panic of that nature. I think by the time this tank finally comes down over the next 1 to 2 years, that
that was my main concern, because I thought at the very end of the summary there was a statement that said that, that they did not recommend, they recommended decommissioning the tank. And we asked, I asked if there was some minimal work that could be done to it to make them feel comfortable with that still being up, and they never really got an answer from that.
Yeah, it was a lot more money than we thought, I believe, or something. He wanted to look at it and recheck to see how much of the 25% loss to do it to, and it just seemed a little more like, why do you have to go back up after you already have pictures of it? And we were a little.
That was the whole discussion about the bracing and the turnbuckles,
right?
Ankle bolts and pins.
Yeah, the pins.
Or the turnbuckle connection.
But not right. Yeah.
And I believe after looking, I think that
he said 25% loss on a lot of them.
25% loss, but you got to look at the overall design parameters of it and what the factor of safety was when they put it into it. Just because there's a 25% loss doesn't necessarily mean it's going to fall over right away or it's an imminent structural danger. Of course, anything with any deterioration or age to it, a recommendation would be, you know, if it's within your boundaries, to decommission it. But you got to look at what that recommendation is based on. Is it based on pure structural integrity, or is it based on planning purposes and what to do in the future?
That was my if I wanted to know if that would be somehow drive us to make sure this got done sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. I would agree that you want to do it sooner.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily because of the fact that it's going to have imminent failure. It's just because it is reaching the end of its life expectancy.
Right.
And it's only going to cost you more each year that you wait to do this. And if you know it's within your best interest now to build a new tank and decommission it. That was my take from the memorandum, that the recommendation was based from more of a planning, not an imminent structural. But if you do, were you able to circulate that to the commissioners? The summary was basically, you know, I just pulled a couple of the direct quotes out of the memorandum.
Yeah.
And press
it
down.
I didn't get it out of there and go. I actually had an emergency I had to take off to at that point.
Maybe if you can forward it, that was.
Yeah. I thought I had actually sent it to you guys. Actually, it was on something from Russ. You might have it. It was probably in last year.
I remember getting it.
You remember? And I'll send it back out to you again. The other thing was, I did talk to Leo. He did stop by one morning just to find out how things were going, what was going on, to hint towards what was going, you know, if we were going further with everything. And I told him what was going on and everything at that point, which I believe is not upset him, but I think that Tom might feel a little scorned after talking to him today. I don't understand why, but he does.
Tom
Sexton, your old neighbor, used to live down across in the corner there in the big house.
Okay.
You mean?
So what's that mean?
What's that?
Does that mean Tom's not going to talk to us again?
No, not at all. Not at all. I got a certain feel from him today. Basically, he said to me, I felt as though we put a lot of work into that report and everything else. And he says, we did a lot of work and didn't get much something on. He said, but, you know, those apples come. Maybe we can get the bite of the bigger apple down the line or something like that. And I was like, well, didn't we pay $14,000 for that report?
That's what I was just going to say to you. It just seems to me like it's the same thing as the other people coming in with the radio. But they came in with the radio. They did a good job. They presented it to us, and it was a very good presentation. And it was so good that we decided not to use the radio. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we're supposed to have, right? Well, same thing with Tom and Leo.
Yeah,
sometimes you do get them, and sometimes you don't.
This Leo is on his own now, and I would use Leo in a heartbeat for a couple things.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
you know,
some other time.
It's
a personal. Yeah. But what I originally was trying to say was, I started to say and got off track, which I do a lot. Sorry. I talked to Leo. You had asked me to ask him what he actually thought. about the structural ability of it. And he said, it all depends on the weather.
That's what he said with his meeting there, too.
Yeah. He said, that might be fine, he said, but if a major hurricane comes in, he says, I wouldn't want to be underneath it.
Sure.
Is what he said. And it's all about weather conditions. He says, if you get a major ice load on there and something happens, he says, I wouldn't want to be there. He said, so that's his feelings on it. And they have suggested in the past that we should do something about that overflow. Now, I have a phone call into Mirathu. I had one 3 months ago in, and it seemed to get, I guess I talked to the wrong person. I talked to the owner of the company. I called and talked to his wife, and she said, well, you shouldn't be talking to him. You should be talking to Kenny over here, the guy that works for us and runs the place. So I talked to Kenny, and he's putting us on the schedule to do a sanitary survey. So when they hit here for the sanitary, I'm going to ask them to give me a price to shore that up somehow in some way a little bit more.
Yeah, so if it ever broke off or anything ever happened to it, you don't want to have an open orifice so that something can fly into the tank, get into the tank.
You know, yeah. You know, what I'm more concerned about is if it does go, that it doesn't go down and bang off anything and go into the back of the house next door or take out the brand new or hurt anybody walking underneath. Just something that's going to, if it drops, we'll know it.
Yeah.
And it'll stay there, though, and it's not going to come crashing down.
Doesn't hit one of the turnbuckles that are compromised.
Right, right. I don't want any further damage to be done. We can always go up there and patch something.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay, well, let's pursue that.
Yeah.
Make sure that we get a resolution probably before the winter.
Everything's probably before the winter right now. I still got to change that ball valve out over at the tank.
Yeah. Right.
And I said to Brian, I said, as soon as we stop pumping water, I'm going to do that. And every day we've been watching it go,
really?
Go. And I'm like, I can't even drain it.
When does the slowdown usually happen? October?
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
Around October, you know, it starts. And usually it's the end of September or October.
You're just going to take
so
that.
So there's going to be a quick window there. If winter doesn't slam upon us.
Yeah.
And Brian said, yeah, we're going to end up doing it. And he said, in the wintertime, I know it. I can just tell.
Positive. The
yeah, and
tank is always half.
Rescom right still hasn't submitted the stuff to me. I talked to him, signed something with him. He hasn't sent anything to me either.
Oh,
it's still in the works,
top.
Yeah. But I did send him a contract and everything.
Okay.
So
if you want me to
I haven't heard
any
more
along,
from the electrical engineer.
As far as a memorandum for
yeah.
that, for the.
So I mean, if you do see him in passing or
I
could make another comment to him, it'd be appreciated. Also.
I do. I talked with the owner of the company actually, and he
okay.
said. He said he was going to get in touch with you.
Yeah.
So let me follow up with him.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem.
Any other discussion on West Street?
I'm good.
West Street. West Street. No. Chris, anything additional?
Not that I have.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's set our October meeting date. The third. Thursday will be the 16th. I'm suggesting the fourth Thursday, which is the 23rd.
23rd?
Yeah. I can be there, it's fine.
I'm fine for that. I'm in New York on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, so.
Yeah, it's funny you said Thursday, move this 5 Thursday.
23rd, Russ.
Five. Oh. So we're talking October 23rd. All right. Just for reasons, just to let you know, too, I will not be here on the week before the 14th through the 20th. I'll be away. So if anything needs to be done, Brian will be there, and actually Jen and Sherry will be there. So.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor.
All right.
All right. Okay. Let me.
What's the date for the special district meeting? Oh, it's McKinsey. Did I miss that memo?